Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. I'm so glad to have you here with us today. I don't know about you. I don't know where you live in the country. You know, it's if you're listening live, it's into the winter time now, you know, and so you may, in the Pacific Northwest, you've probably got rain. Well, let's face it, any time of the year, you've probably got rain there. You know, other parts of the country are starting to have snow, leaves are changing colors, you know, and down here where we're currently at in Southern California, you know, right now while I'm recording this, in the middle of the afternoon, it's about 80 degrees. It is really fun to have sun outside, and I hope that regardless of what the weather is outside, that you have sun inside. And I hope you know what I mean by that. I really do hope that joy is inside of you. You see, happiness is kind of a giddy thing, you know. I would hope that, like, on your wedding day, on your graduation day, things like that, you're happy, you're giddy. But joy is something that is more consistent. Joyous, I mean, you can be very, very giddy with joyousness, don't get me wrong. But joy is more internal. Joy is something that wells up within you. Joy is something that when you're in the midst of darkness, you can still believe there's light. Joy is something that goes with us, good times and bad. And now, don't get me wrong, I understand. I have been there. I know what it's like to have times when there is no joy to be found. You know, I think of the old, you know, Casey at the Bat, and, you know, the old, there was no joy in Mudville because Mighty Casey had struck out. And, you know, I think that's a little superficial with what I'm really meaning with joy, but there are times in our life when, no matter how hard we look for it, joy is hard to find. And I really hope today, as you're listening, that that's not the place you find yourself. I hope that wellspring of joy, the sunshine of gladness, of delight, of happy joyfulness is springing up within you. How's that for some really powerful visualizing words? Springing up within you. Think about it for a minute. Think of us of a wellspring. You know, not a well, but a wellspring. And, you know, sometimes I think we get wellspring confused with a well because we start thinking of, you know, Jack and Jill going up the hill to fetch a pail of water or some other kind of well where you put the bucket down into it. Whereas a spring has pressure behind it and the water comes at least trickling, often gushing. And I love the wells that are just gushing with fresh spring water. And I hope that within you, the well of joy is springing up, that it's gushing out of you with delight, with happiness, with, and here's a really good one, satisfaction. There's always more we're going to want in life. It's just kind of part of the human condition for most people. I won't get into those that I'm pretty sure that that's not true, but basically, you know, we want more. And when we get more, we want more. It's just kind of how we are. But I don't think we need to really focus on what isn't. I think we need more of being able to see what is, to allow that joy to spring up within us, spring up a well within your soul, and dance. Dance the dance of gladness, of joy, from deep inside, so that when the storm of life or the storms of the outside, either way, come our way, there's a real sense of joy that can undergird all of that. that we can go through it, that we can be that weirdo that in the midst of a crisis finds a way to smile. Not because we're uncomfortably cutting jokes because we don't know how to deal with tension, but because there's a peace in the midst of our storms. Because here's what I know. You know, I'm 51 now. I'll be 52 here pretty soon, actually. And, you know, life becomes more real the older you get. I remember what it was like to be 16 or 18 years old, full of hope and promise. And there were a lot of things that I couldn't tell. You know, if I went back in time, I couldn't convince the younger version of myself about reality, about situations that just do happen. There's that joy and naivete of youth that is amazingly awesome. But there's a wonderful kind of joy that comes as we mature in life. And I'm beginning to really appreciate this kind of joy because at this stage in my life, I've come through some things. I've had heartbreaks and heartaches. I've had triumphs beyond what I could have asked or even think, and valleys so low that I knew they were going to take me out. Do you know what that feels like? When you're in the depth of the despair of the worst moment, as far as you're concerned, of your life, and you just know there's no coming back. I remember one time, in probably one of the worst days of my life, I was trying to explain it to a friend, and I said, it's like I'm on the edge of a black hole, and I can feel it spinning and whirling and pulling me in. And the worst of all of it isn't the hopelessness, it's the fact that I want to let go and let it swallow me up. Now, I would never wish that on any of you. I hope there are some of you listening that are like, wow, that's really dark. I've never been to that place in my life. In fact, I hope all of you have never been there. But as we grow, as we mature, we have things that happen in our life. But what we learn, if our eyes are opened, if we look, we can see that even in the worst of times, there's joy. That we're not alone. Neither are we alone in reality with the people around us. It feels like it sometimes. In fact, the human nature is to detach and to say to ourselves, no one understands what I'm going through because no one's ever been through what I'm going through right now. But we learn that there are others that are there for us. There are still people who love us. Sometimes we have to reach out. Sometimes we have to physically ask, is there anybody that cares anymore? It's wonderful because there are people that will pop up and say, absolutely, I care. I'm here for you. Often there are people that are in the very core of our lives, our spouses, our parents, close friends. They know something's going on with you, but they don't know what's going on, and they don't know how to help. But if you reach out, they want to. But here's the point, because I'm afraid that we can get lost in the darkness, in the possibility of darkness. And what I really want you to see today is light. I want you to see joy and all of its possibilities throughout all, through the midst of everything, ups and downs. There are those days when your child is born, when your soulmate says, I do. Good feelings, huh? If you stop for just a minute and remember that day, you can feel the joy. Feel it overcoming you. Feel the tear coming down your face. Tears of gladness. There is joy. There is happiness. There is more. No matter how far you've come, there's so much more for you. So much more love. So much more peace. So much more light. And so much more joy. Joy is yours. Reach out for it. For those of you that are living in that place right now where you feel joyous, maybe you are in the Pacific Northwest or, you know, in one of our northern territories like Alaska or northern Canada, where maybe you're even going into the season where days last for days. But even when the outside world may not be showing it, you can feel that joy. You can look and you can see the beauty. I remember Kathy telling me, her and I met after Maya was born. And she said, you know, I had gotten to the place where I hated the Pacific Northwest. It rained all the time and I just wanted to get out of there. And then while she was pregnant with Maya, everything changed. She looked at the rain and she could see how joyful it is for that newborn baby when she will come out and experience rain on her face for the first time and splash in a mud puddle. And there was a time, this time just last year, when that precious little baby, who's now 19, who was 18 at the time, was literally on her deathbed. And we thought we had lost her. And all we could reach for was hope and for joy. There's no time in circumstances like that to give up and quit when you're fighting and believing for somebody else. And joy wells up as you now watch that precious little girl. I know, you're not that little anymore, Maya, but you'll always be our little girl. Who's now engaged to the love of her life, has exciting things going on in her world. And you see that moment when all was lost and you still reached out for joy to believe there is something better. Because when the breakthrough comes, and it will, it absolutely will, you could literally be standing on the edge of your breakthrough right now. That breakthrough will come. And when it does, you'll look back and you'll see your moment when you were hanging on, maybe when you were free falling and only the parachute of God caught you. But the joy was there, that joy unspeakable that goes above and beyond all that we can ask or even think. That's the kind of joy I'm talking about. That's the kind of joy I give to you. I wish for you. I pray for you today. Joy unspeakable, beyond measure, beyond all counting and beyond all reckoning, that in your best of days is cemented about how great things can be, and in the worst of moments is anchored by the fact that you know that there is joy, that there is life, that life does have a purpose, and that you are going to not only live, but you're going to thrive. That's my hope for you. That's my prayer for you today. And I know as you're listening, that joy is welling up within you, and you too are going to learn how to live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. I have a great author for you today, international best-selling author with an amazing book that's going to also help you well up the joy within your soul. Get ready to take notes, to spring up a well within your soul, to go on a journey with me today as we release the debt of the past. That's exciting. And we learn to live in joy as we strive and thrive to live every day of our life as a thriving entrepreneur.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. Are you ready to spring up a well within your soul today? A well of joy, of peace, of prosperity, and of possibility. Now is your day for breakthrough. We are going to together climb a summit and get to a place that's even better than we ever thought we were going to be at. And we're going to take that journey together today with our next best-selling author. Probably one of the biggest things that we deal with is debt. It is overwhelming sometimes and something that everybody struggles with at some point in their life. I think you could probably find the richest person in the world and they could tell you about the times that they've struggled with debt. The numbers would just probably terrify you if you heard about those. But today we want to release that debt. And to do so, we're going to talk with best-selling author Benita Parker about her book, Release the Debt, Inspirational Testaments of Strength and Purpose. Hi, Benita. How are you today?
Hi, Steve. How are you? I'm doing great. I'm doing fabulous. I have no complaints. How are you?
I'm doing really good. I'm excited to talk about this subject and just get to know you a little better.
Awesome. I'm here for it.
All right. So I know Kathy knows you really well, but this is going to kind of be an intro to you for me as well. So let's start off with just some basics. Who are you and how do you show up in the world?
Awesome. Awesome. So as you already said, I'm Benita Parker. I'm a certified master life coach and inspirational speaker. So I help women entrepreneurs discover their purpose so that they can show up great in who they are.
That's awesome. So you have another book, but this one just came out. Tell us about the inspiration for talking with people about releasing their debt.
Yes, yes. And it's funny because it's really a play on words, release the debt. When you first think of releasing debt, you're thinking about your car note, your student loans, your mortgage payments, things like that. But this particular releasing of debt is that unforeseen debt that is invisible to the naked eye that lives within our hearts and minds. It's debt that are alive within us from the past. like, for instance, the father who walked out when we were little, whose approval we're still seeking, or the mother who's overcritical, so we're working or overworking ourselves to prove that we're good enough in her eyes, or the boyfriend who abused us, the teacher who told us that we would never amount to anything. And I like to call those things invisible enemies. So to release the debt in this sense of this book means to set yourself free from the emotional indebtedness and baggage and let go of all things negative that hinder us from moving forward in our lives.
Going back to what I said in the intro, everybody deals with that kind of debt.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, there's an old saying that says one thing you can be sure of in life, and that's that you're not going to get out unscathed. But I think the biggest thing people struggle with is a sense of nobody else has ever been through what I'm going through. Do you run into that a lot?
I run into that a whole lot. And the main thing is the reason why I do these books is just so those people in that mind space will know that they are not alone, that there is somebody else out there, you know, numerous people for that matter, who share that same journey that they have been through.
And to that end, this book is not only with you in it, but there's 8 women mm-hmm. who contributed their stories. Mm-hmm. So tell me just a little bit about the 8 women that are in this book.
Wow. So these 8 women, they come from different walks of life, right? They're phenomenal. Just to not go through each and every one, but I'll give you a summary of them. So we, in this book, we have someone who is a doctor. We have another life coach in this book. We have, you know, someone who is a self-made successpreneur, as I like to call her, myriad of different women in here. And so their stories range from actual debt release. There's one girl who's a financial analyst who, you know, was so knee deep in debt that she couldn't see light at the end of the tunnel. And she talks about how she actually got through that. But then there's other stories in here about, you know, how to let go of past hurt and pain, you know, to see the other side. There's another story where, you know, a woman was, you know, knee deep in drugs, you know, and she talks about how, you know, she used the drugs to kind of mask some, you know, emotional baggage from the passing of her father and things like that. So it's really, really intense, this book. And the stories that are imparted on these pages will wow you. Let me say that. They will wow you and leave you speechless.
I love how the book really, it's just real. It's people who you think have it all together that are honest about the fact that, you know, sometimes I don't, as well as people that are just like us,
that are
just going through life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And these women, like, they're so humbled and just normal. If you could see my little finger quotes, they're so normal. And it's like you would look at them and never think that they went through the things that they wrote about in this book. And so I'm just honored to have each and every one of them entrust me with their story and to have it published to share with the world.
So how did you get them to be willing to be this vulnerable and honest with you and out into the whole world in a book?
That's a good question. So it's funny because I'm a big social media person. And I always believe that, you know, you just put the opportunity out there and see who bites. And so I put the opportunity out on social media for, you know, aspiring authors who wanted to share their story to impact the world globally. And after they submitted their interest, I held a call with each of them to kind of break it down. And on the call, one thing that I let them know was, you are free to be exactly who you are in your story. So write your story from the heart. Like, don't worry about the fluff. Don't worry about being politically correct. Don't worry about none of that stuff. Like, tell your story exactly as it was so that the person who is meant to read it will resonate with it and it will have impact. And so they like the fact that their story was not going to be changed. They like the fact that they could be as open, honest, and blunt as they so choose to be. Whereas a lot of projects, you kind of have to be a little more politically correct, but I don't like that. I don't like the fluff. And so, you know, I just tell them, you know, just write from your mouth and not from, you know, the ears of others who you, words that you think other people want to hear. And they kind of resonated with that. And so that's how they all got on board, because that was something different for them.
So, because I help people with books all the time too, you know, how many of them called you the day before, the night before we did the release and stuff, and they expressed worry or concern with you about their story?
Oh my God. Listen, Steve, let me tell you, I had two authors. It was only two, really. I had two authors. One author submitted a story. In the very beginning, we were in like first round drafts, and she submitted her story, and then she came back and said, oh, I need to pull that story because, you know, there are certain aspects of it that my family don't know about and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but it's already in, you know, edits. Like, we're already in editing. And she's like, I need to submit a whole different story. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I let her do it. And then she submitted the new story. And I was just like, this story doesn't fly. Like, it's not really a good story. But then she kind of came back, like, right towards the end, before it actually was getting ready to go to print, and said, I want to resubmit the previous story that I submitted the first time. Can I do that? Like, and I'm like, oh my God, you're killing me. And then I had one other author who was like, I believe I could make the ending a little bit more stronger. I kind of left out some things, blah, blah, blah. Can I change it? I'm like, we're already in print. So that was it. But once we kind of got to print and, you know, everything was moving right along, they knew that there was no going back. There was no changes. So they didn't really bug me. They were more excited about whether or not we were going to make bestseller, whether or not we were going to make bestseller more than anything. So
it is such a fun moment. So do you remember when Kathy told you, or you read it on social media, that you were a bestselling author, a bestseller?
Yes, I do. Let me tell you. It was the most powerful thing that I had ever felt. Like, my phone instantly started blowing up. Like, it was, I have two phones, my business and my personal life, and they were both just like ringing simultaneously, ringing, ringing, ringing. And everybody wanted to talk and say congratulations and everything. And then the authors, the co-authors were calling me, and they were literally in tears, like, just so overwhelmed. And so I thank you guys. Like, it was such an amazing experience working with you and just having that, you know, that bestseller come out in the manner that it did. Because when she posted it, I was asleep and I woke up to it. And it was like the first thing, I was scrolling my timeline and I saw it and I started screaming. And I was like, ah! And my honey was like, what? I was like, I did it. And he was like, what? I showed it to him. And he was just like, oh, that is awesome. That is what's up. And so I shared it. But then, like I said, my phone line just went crazy.
I love that moment when now forever you are a best-selling author. That's just the best.
Oh, it's the best. And it's like one of those things that you want to happen, but you don't actually know or believe that it's going to happen. You want it, but you don't know that it's going to happen until it actually happens. And it's so overwhelming. It never gets, I can't imagine it ever getting old, you know?
Well, here's a fun one for you, because I happen to be looking at your Amazon page right now. Mm-hmm. So underneath of the title on the description page of your book, it has this gorgeous bright orange flag that says number one new release.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah, right there. You've got 5 stars, number one new release. That's pretty exciting.
That is super exciting. That is super exciting.
Yeah.
Like my mouth right now, I just wish everyone could see. I'm grinning from ear to ear. My cheeks literally hurt right now.
I love doing that kind of stuff for people. I hope you have moments in your life, in your business, that allow you the opportunity to share joy with somebody else, to hear their laughter, and to make their life, their world a little bit better from something that your business just does. I really hope that for you. That is so much fun. It's one of the best ways to capture joy in our life is by simply having something built into what we do that allows you to be able to not only rejoice, but to make somebody else's day. It's so fun to be able to bring bright, cheery happiness and joy to people's lives. I can't think of any better way to live as a thriving entrepreneur than when you are helping somebody else reach their joy. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. I'm here with Benita Parker, and we're talking about her amazing international best-selling book, Release the Debt, Inspirational Testaments of Strength and Purpose. It's a great book. There's so many nuggets in it, and all of the ladies that participated in this share great stories of things that they've come through and been able to let go and let it be in their past to release those kind of debts and really be able to thrive. Don't you want that? You know, there's so much in the book, and that's why people need to buy the book so that they can read all of it. But give us just kind of a little taste of some of the inspirational testaments and things that the person can actually hear about in the book.
Awesome, awesome. So in this book, I don't know if I said this in the beginning, but I'll repeat it. This book will make you laugh, cry, scream. There's some moments, you know, where you may get mad at the author for, you know, some of the things that she has done in the story. But like the biggest takeaways or inspirations is that they learned their triggers. They learned, you know, what caused them to hold on to the debt, the emotional baggage. They knew what it was like to go through. And I always say, you know, the go through is just the journey, but the grow through is where your purpose lies. And so in their journeys, they grew through it and they discovered exactly what their purposes were. It's so inspirational from a spiritual standpoint. There's one girl in here, and let me just kind of pinpoint where I want to go with it. So there's one girl in here who suffered from, I don't want to say the word suffered, but she dealt with criticism, you know, from her family. She was a single mom. which I'm sure so many women can relate to. She was a single mom taking care of her two kids, and she had had them at, you know, such an early age. But in that process, the ideal of never being married or never getting married kind of hung over her head. And it was like a family hit against her. And so, you know, from out of fear, she allowed that to kind of dictate her moves and how she, you know, dealt with men and dealt with her kids and things like that. So she had a defining moment where, you know, she had started drinking and everything, and her daughter had kind of called her out on her drinking, and it kind of shifted the trajectory of her life because she didn't want her daughter to see her in that way, nor did she want the ideal of having to be married determine whether or not she was a good woman or a good mother. And so it was just really, really inspiring to read her story and how she, you know, transgressed through that in deciding that she needed therapy. Because a lot of times we, you know, as people tend to think that therapy is like this bad thing, but it's really not. And I believe that, you know, her seeking out that therapy was an inspiration in herself because it kind of, you know, fixed some of the dysfunctional patterns that she was creating for herself. So that was probably one of the most inspiring stories or testaments in the book, I believe.
I bet there's a lot of people listening right now that can relate to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You talk about in your description the ability to shift your narrative and not allow the challenges to hold you hostage. Mm-hmm. So can you share with the listeners how they could begin to shift their narrative?
Absolutely. It all starts with accountability, acceptance and accountability. We have to, as a people, accept the things as they are. So, and I always like to use my journey with cancer that I shared so openly on social media, was that for me, being a life coach and being someone who constantly talks about being authentic and transparent, I kind of hid myself in the beginning once I got this diagnosis. And so I remember telling my honey, I was like, you know, I feel like such a fraud. And, you know, he asked me, he's like, well, what do you mean? Like, why? And I was like, because here I am, you know, teaching and preaching about authenticity and transparency. And I'm not letting the world know that I'm going through this situation. And so I wasn't actually able to embrace it until I went public with it, if that makes sense to a lot of people. And so once I went public with it, I took ownership of it, you know? And so when I say we, in order to shift our narrative, these are the things that we have to do. You have to first take ownership of whatever it is that you're going through. This is what I'm going through, but it does not own me. Like, I'm going to own it and just accept that in order to embrace it. Once you embrace it, you can fight it. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel because you'll start putting steps in place to help you come out of it, thus shifting your narrative, because it doesn't have to be as bad as it seems. It's only that way if we wallow in it, you know, and allow it to take over us. But once we release it and accept it and embrace it, we take control, and then we control the journey. We control the narrative, and it can shift in any direction that we want it to.
That's very powerful. I really appreciate you sharing that with us. I think sometimes we hear things like that, and sometimes we're inspired, and sometimes we go immediately to our place to hide, I guess is the best way of saying it. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a armor that we've built that's a shield for ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's really just an excuse, but
absolutely.
What would you say to somebody who says, yes, but you don't understand what I'm going through?
I hear that so much. You know, that's a good question because I hear it so much. You don't understand what I'm going through. And if it is something that I have not been through, and let me just be crystal clear for a second, I have been through so much in my life. And so I rarely come across something that I haven't been through, unless it has to deal with like drugs or something like that. I've never done drugs, but I always tell them, I may not know what you're going through, but I guarantee you that what I have been through will, you know, I can relate to you. And so I just let them know, like, it may not be the same story, but the journey, like, is pretty much the same. The narrative, it's pretty much the same, you know? And so I get them to open up to me through that manner and just, you know, just letting them know that even though it looks ugly right now, doesn't mean that you can't come out of it, no matter what it is. And so that's pretty much what I do, or what I would say to them.
So you had said earlier, the very first thing you need to do is to own it, to take ownership of what you have. So if somebody is listening and they're in debt to something from their past, give us a couple of steps of what a person could do right now to start releasing that debt.
Okay, great. A lot of times we think that it's something on the surface. So let's take, for instance, someone who may be, you know, their dad may have walked out of their life, or their mom may have left them. A lot of times we won't look to the underlying issue. There's some abandonment issues there. There's some trust issues that will take place. And I say, dig really deep. The first thing is look really deep below the surface to uncover what that issue is, first and foremost. And don't be afraid to go into that dark place. Don't be afraid to sit back and just rethink what could have happened in my life that could have caused me to be this way, or it could have caused me to respond this way or react this way. And so that's the first thing, is just to dig deep. And once you do that, don't be afraid to own it. Like I already said, ownership is the biggest thing in this whole process, because once you own it and accept it for what it is, then you can make sound decision to fix it or correct it or whatever it is. So those are the top three things. Dig deep. And that often may require some meditation. Don't be afraid to meditate. Don't be afraid to talk to someone who can pull those things out of you. A lot of times we can't do that ourselves. It will take someone to ask us those right questions to, you know, pull things out. And don't be afraid to go into that space. Go into that space, get that stuff pulled out of you, own it, look to, you know, what it was, how it may, you know, could have possibly been different. If there was a role that you played in it, don't be afraid to own that. So own it 360 degrees, own it all the way around. And then make the strong determination to say, okay, you know what? This is what it is. This is where I know where it came from. Now, how do I fix it? And put those steps in place to fix it and to free yourself from it.
Dig deep, own it, and then come up with a plan.
Come up with a plan of action to move forward from it.
Steps. Mm-hmm. So in our last few moments here, I want to just kind of set you free to be able to inspire people that are listening to be able to release their debt.
Okay. So for anyone who is listening on the call, I want to leave you with this. And not in a manner to sound redundant, but it's so key to not allow what you are going through to dictate your journey or to dictate your path, to dictate your outcome. Because you and only you have inside of you what is necessary to fix it, correct it, and change it. You don't have to live in poverty. You don't have to continuously deal in abusive relationships. You don't have to stay indebted to your heart and to your mind, or to those past hurts, to the father who walked out, to the mother who, you know, who you're still seeking approval for. You don't have to stay indebted to those negative emotions. You control your energy. You control your path. And don't be afraid to let go of those toxicities that hold you back, those things that are no good or mean no good to your internal spirit. And just, you know, protect your spirit and your energy at all costs, no matter what, even if that means letting go of people, letting go of things, moving to a different location, whatever it is that you need to do to protect your mind space, do that unapologetically without fear, no matter what. And that's what I would leave you with.
The book is called Release the Debt, Inspirational Testaments of Strength and Purpose by bestselling author Benita L. Parker. Benita, thanks so much for spending some time with us here today.
I appreciate you so much, Steve. Thank you so much. You and Kathy, I appreciate you both.
So let's talk about it for a minute here before we go to our last commercial break. What is the debt that you're going to release? What are the things from your past that you've been holding on to that have been holding you back? I remember the first time I heard it, and I've heard it from many other people, but Gloria and Bonet, Glow as we always called her, was a traveling evangelist that I worked with for a while. And she told a story about her past, and she said that she actually had a vision of all of the people she was really angry at. And, you know, keep in mind, these are some pretty severe child abuse kind of things that she had been through. And she realized that the holding on to that anger was her wrapping herself in chains. That other person was off doing whatever. They were living their life while she was tying herself up in knots. She was chaining herself to her past. I love that visual, and I really want you to look at the things from your past. And they could be severe, they could be tiny, they could be financial, but they don't have to be a thing that you found yourself indebted to, that's holding you away from living in a joyous, purposeful place because you're tied to the past. I want you to determine something that you're going to release today. What is the debt you're going to release today? We want to share with you. We want to agree with you that that debt is going to be released in your life. So if you will go to social media and you will post something that talks about what debt you're going to release and put with it hashtag thriving entrepreneur, so that we can share and rejoice with you as you release the debt. I really hope that you can, because I know that breakthrough will be really good for you and help you to live as a thriving entrepreneur. We'll be right back.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. Thanks for listening today to Thriving Entrepreneur. I'm so glad that you're with us. I rejoice that you're here. It makes me joyful to do this show. I've said many times over, you know, it's really kind of like my guilty pleasure to get to be able to do this show. And, you know, the fact that it's part of our business, that I get to share all these amazing best-selling authors with you and their books and help and change lives. It really, truly is a joy that is always there, regardless. You know, I just, I can, you know, I'm a human being. I have bad days, just like everybody else. And yet I find myself, even the times when I have to push myself to finish the show, to do the show, to do an interview, that it energizes me, that it encourages me, and it inspires me. And so I also hope that, you know, along with having things that you do as a business that bring joy to others, because that's a great way to build up the joy inside of you, that you also have things that you just really love about your business and that you can do those. You know, the more you can focus on the things that bring you joy and the things that you're great at, the better. Really, truly, you know, there's just nothing like really being able to live in your purpose. And, you know, I know there, all of us as entrepreneurs have multiple things that we have to do. And every day can't just be blissing out. We wish it could, but, you know, that's not real. But the more that you can emphasize that thing that only you can do and really strive and thrive in it, that's a good day. That's what we want to see for you as you do this thing that we call living as a thriving entrepreneur. You see, you've got a message inside of you, and you may have heard stuff that Benita and I were talking about today, or things that I was talking about joy, maybe telling a little bit about the story of some of the things that I've gone through in my life. And you've thought to yourself, one of several things. Maybe what you said is, well, wow, if that guy can share his story, that I really can share mine, because his is nothing compared to mine. And hey, you know, I actually had a really great childhood. I had good parents. You know, there are things I can go on and on about. But, you know, I have a lot of things to be thankful for. And I know there are people. I always think of the book, The Story of It. You know, the child who grew up literally without a name, thrown in a closet. And, you know, all of us could have a much better, much worse life than what we've had. But your life is uniquely yours. If I put you in a room with 100 people that do exactly what you do, whether that be your company that you own or a job that you work or whatever, every single one of you, even if you were describing the exact same thing, would do it differently. Because you're unique. You're like a snowflake. You are more creative, and unique than anything else on this planet. Even if you're a twin, twins have uniquenesses. It's actually fun to watch them come out. And what I encourage you today is that there is somebody who's going through something that you've come through. Big or small, it doesn't really matter. See, we tend to critique it. We tend to be like, well, you know, I've never had a situation happen in my life like the child from The Story of It, and so therefore, I don't have anything to write about. And that's not true. That's a lie that's brought to us from horrible places to try to keep us from sharing our message with the world. And the world needs your message just as much as they need Oprah's message or anybody else's. And so today I encourage you, know that there is somebody else that's looking for that thing that you do so easily, you probably discounted it. You probably, if I told you to write a book about that, you'd be like, oh, everybody knows how to do that. And the truth of the matter is there are a lot of people who don't. The most simple of things for each of us is the thing that is the biggest struggle for others. And so I encourage you today, share that message with the world. Yes, speak it from stage. Have a podcast. Shout it from the rooftops. Tell your neighbor. Tell a friend. But more importantly, write it down. Because there is somebody that needs that message right now today. But there's somebody that's going to need it tomorrow, and next week, and next year, and 100 years from now. Think of some of the powerful, impactful books from 50, 100 years ago and the difference that they made in your life. Now imagine if you had never read that book. If that one phrase from that book, hey, I'll even expand it for you. You know, think about a phrase that you quote all the time from a movie. What if the person that wrote that story had never put that phrase in it? How much less would your life be? You have words just like that inside of you. And what I want for you, the vision I want to cast for you today, is I want you to write your words down. I want you to share them with the world. Yes, I want you to make your book a bestseller. And I want it to be so spread out far and wide that one day you're walking down a hallway at an event or in a business office or something, and you see a quote on the wall and you freeze. You pause for a minute. You rub your eyes. You can't believe it's true. It couldn't possibly be. You must have misread it. And you read it again. And you think, oh no, I plagiarized. I stole somebody else's statement. And you start questioning yourself. But then you look at it just a little closer. And down in the corner, it says your name. It's a quote from your book on somebody else's wall, inspiring them. That's what I want for you. That's exciting, isn't it? Think about that one. Let the joy of that well up in you. Because you see, here's the thing. You do have a message. Because you are unique. Your uniqueness is like no one else. You are uniquely brilliant. You were created very specifically, on purpose, with a purpose for a purpose. And the world needs you. The world will not reach its full potential until you share your message with the world. Kathy and I want to encourage you to join us at bestsellersguild.com. It's our free Facebook group. Just go bestsellersguild.com and ask to join. We want to have you there with us. We want to rejoice as your message gets shared with the world and as we see you, like so many others have, become a best-selling author. I want that for you. I want to read the post when you talk about seeing that poster on the wall with your name on it. Then I know, just like today, you will know what it means to live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Kathy and I want that for you. Until next time, have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelp.com. youthrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.